Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, good morning. That sound like a guy who just woke up? Good morning. Good morning, Dan. How are you today?
Tired. It was a long night. I ended up watching that Georgia Tech game for a good portion of it. Ended up watching the end of the NBA game because why bother watching the first three quarters of an NBA game for the most part unless it's the Celtics? So, it was whatever.
You noticed something about every game last night? Underdog won.
Yeah.
Baseball, the Rays were plus 140. The Heat won.
Yep.
And Georgia Tech won.
Yep.
And by the way, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Louisville had three turnovers. That's why they lost.
Nah, Georgia Tech was just the better team.
Okay, I got to tell you about a play that happened last night.
Okay.
That I've never seen. All right, Georgia Tech's down one on about the 7-yard line. It's third down. They get stopped. But there's a penalty on the offense, chop block. Do they accept the 15-yard penalty?
You decline it. Oh, I saw this.
Or you decline
it. You always decline it.
Jeff back there, what do? You're on the 7-yard line. You just stopped them on third down. You could just have them kick or you have them take the 15-yard penalty. What do? And replay third down.
I'd replay third down.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, you know what happened, Jeff?
I would say they didn't go for
third. They scored a touchdown on the third down.
It's why you decline the penalty, you take the field goal in that situation, and it's college kickers. I know. Oh, it'll be a 40-yard field goal or whatever, 33-yard field goal. Guess what? College kickers miss from 20 all the time as well.
I can't believe that play. That one's still like, and Thursday night.
Bro, hold on. Were you on Louisville?
Oh yeah.
Oh, why?
Dude, I think quarterback from Louisville's legit.
I mean, the
rain really hurt them. They couldn't throw the football downfield. Well, the three turnovers. Dude, I watched most of the game. The turnovers were costly, like in the red zone.
The thing that really hurt them was the fumble, the first one. They were punching it in.
It went up 7-0.
It was 21. They were up 21-7.
Yeah, 21-7. Sorry.
And they fumbled that ball, and that was a killer because it was 21-14. I think Georgia Tech had either just scored or just scored because it's off the kickoff, and 21-14. All of a sudden, Georgia Tech gets the possession. He has to go like 20 yards. They score. They miss the extra point. It's still 21-20, and then from then on, they went for two because they missed the extra point on the previous possession. So it was what 21-19, whatever the hell it was. Okay, that changed the game right there because Georgia Tech was in the game from that point on, and I don't think Louisville ever got back to running the football, which is what they had them, you know. Running with Hawkins was literally their success early. And then once they got away from that, they didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. 6 points in the second half. Like the minute that they put the ball in Cunningham's hands and said throw the ball 33 times, that's where they lost.
Yeah, when it's raining out, you can't do anything.
Cunningham is very Lamar Jackson-ish. You agree with that?
Oh my, well, same school, same, yeah.
Same type of player, not as pristine, clean pocket thrower.
He's not as fast or any of that.
Oh, ability. I think he absolutely is.
Really, as fast?
I think, yeah. I mean, did you see some of those runs early on in the game?
I think he's good. Don't get me wrong. I thought that the De'Ara King matchup in them would, and they went back and forth for a bit. It's just De'Ara King was better. He's a second year on the system. Kid's going to be pretty good. Louisville's going to be pretty good. Their defense stinks. They stink.
Yes. Yeah,
Georgia Tech gave up, lost to USF. Like, just think of, like, the who they've lost.
They lost to Syracuse.
And another one. Yeah.
They didn't lose the USF. They lost to UCF.
UCF, sorry.
Yeah.
UCF's good.
Yeah.
Who lost last week.
But they got blown out in Syracuse. Lose by 17 as a 7-point favorite, even in Syracuse still. That's an embarrassing loss. And they...
Here's another cleaning tip from Mr. Clean. Oh. Cleaning tough bathrooms.
Is that me? Oh, you know what? My thing's up. Sorry about that.
No, that's me because I'm on ESPN right now. So looking back on it, like, that Florida State win looks pretty terrible, too. 16-13.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. If there's one thing that we've discussed on this show or the podcast, whether you people think we know what we're talking about or not, have you noticed these dead numbers on spreads? That was a 5 last night.
4.5, 5, yep.
Whatever. I mean, it's just Tampa Bay on Thursday night.
Yep.
4.5, 5.
Even 3.5, it didn't matter. That's what I'm telling you is the
dead number on a favorite is bad. It's bad.
By the way, do you want to talk about that Tampa Bay game at all?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Because the college game last night was interesting. What is the deal with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Because I look at them and say, oh, they're 3-2. They should be 2-3 or 1-4 at this point.
I think everyone's going to have a different perspective of this based off Tom Brady, at least around here. What I saw was a guy. I guess I'd ask this. What would the Bucs be without Tom Brady?
0-5, maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe they win. What was the second game of the season? Carolina, I think, was the game that they just absolutely rolled. Maybe they beat that Carolina team,
who's now 2-2, beat Cardinals last week.
Yeah, I still think they're an overrated team. But
Brady to me is good. He looks good. He had a throw to Mike Evans. I thought on a slant for a touchdown. He had Mike Evans on a 3rd and 30. Evans couldn't find the ball. They don't run the ball enough with Ronald Jones.
I did not think that was a good throw. The deep.
Well, I think he could have had it.
You're talking about the deep ball.
Well,
right?
It was lobbed up there.
Yeah.
But even Foles was throwing like crap that day too.
No. I'm not giving Brady grief for that. I mean, that's a deep ball. I don't think it's a great throw.
I think the officials were terrible. Terrible.
Really? I don't think they were that bad.
Dude, did you see the third down call? They called on a third down.
The roughing the passer call.
That was the crappiest call. Yeah, and then they called a pass interference on a ball where the guy actually looked back for the ball. I thought it was that was one of the key points in the game. I thought was that the officials were terrible, and even Joe Buck said it himself. Listen, are we going to say the refs are the reason why the Bucs lost the game? No.
No,
but
the Bucs lost the game because they had 11 penalties, and they were in 3rd and 30 almost every drive in the second half because they were holding.
Why were they not double teaming Khalil Mack?
Mike Evans is pushing dudes in the secondary and then trying to be like, I didn't do anything. What are you doing, Mike Evans?
He got pick play on one. Gronk had they called the pick play on him at one point.
They called a DPI against Gronk, which in
New late England, in the game.
New England, no call. But in Tampa, he gets that call. Crazy.
But more than anything, I thought the Bears were bad. I thought their play calling was atrocious. I have no problem with Tom Brady flipping out on the sideline. We've seen it here, and it's worked. Too many penalties. They're poorly coached. If they didn't have Brady, they'd suck.
Do you think Brady looks at this team and says, we're screwed?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because there's no way.
I think they need help.
There's no way that team is a prayer in the playoffs. If they commit. I'm not kidding when I say this. They have more offensive penalties in the first week than the Patriots do have penalties the entire season. They're in the double digits now. They're like, it's like 7, 7, 8, 10, 11, something like that in terms of penalties.
Well, on a betting perspective, they're going to be probably highly favored every week, right? Just because of their explosive options on offense.
Right. I assume Godwin's coming back next week, too.
Wirfs had a bad night, and I think he'll be fine.
I mean, he was going against Khalil Mack.
Yeah. And he got flipped on one play.
That was bad.
Bad. They don't give Ronald Jones the football enough. That's my opinion. I think he runs hard, man.
He was real. I think he was their best player, their best offensive player outside of Brady.
And Allen Robinson, give him credit, right? But how do you not know when Cordell Patterson is in the backfield that they're going to throw to him? Like if nobody, I don't think anybody in the league can cover him out of the backfield. I don't think there's a linebacker in the league. Because, dude, I watched him go up that sideline, and I'm like, nobody. A decent throw, and Foles made a good throw to him. I'm not saying
you're probably going to have to put a safety on him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying he's the difference, all right? He had that one long for 25.
He had that one really nice throw from Foles on the sideline there.
The Bears, again, are now in a 17-game sample, are 5-12 against the spread.
Yeah, but again.
But they're 4-1. They win games. They don't. The spread doesn't matter for them.
They're 2-1 with Foles. And really, he's played, 1.5 games because they took Trubisky out, mid-game against the Falcons. So really, they're 2-1 with Foles. And they were facing a really good Indy team last week who just beat them. Indy was just better than them, and they just beat them.
Speaking of Indy, they play a. Who knows what kind of Cleveland team we'll get this week. We'll get into that on the show. There's a ton of college football games today.
Yep.
Red River Showdown.
Shootout. I can't believe they changed the name of that series because everyone is such a freaking
Is it Shootout? I don't know why. I thought
it was the Red River Shootout, and then they changed it because people were offended by the word, by the term shootout. So they went to Showdown. Welcome to 2020.
Okay. We have Miami Clemson tonight.
It's a hell of a game. It really is. And before that, I'd say the 3:30 game, Tennessee, Georgia should be good.
That Tennessee has won 8 games in a row?
Yes.
You should see who they're against, though.
Yeah. I do think that Tennessee is one of the more overrated sides right now. And we talked about that. We'll talk about the game for sure. But the two opponents that they've started with, yikes.
The Nooners are good today. Florida, Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Texas, Oklahoma. I didn't look. That's just top 25. And LSU plays.
NC State, Virginia should be a decent. Okay, that's good. No one's going to watch that game though, obviously, because of the other match.
You mentioned 3:30 Georgia, Tennessee. I like Texas Tech, Iowa State. I think that one's going to be good.
I think that's going to be I think that has the potential to be a blowout.
Another one of those Big 12 games. And then tonight, Miami Clemson, 7:30. Alabama Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin invites Alabama to the
Ole Miss. And Florida State, Notre Dame. That was supposed to be one of the keynote games this week. Mm-hmm. And obviously, given how Florida State has been, it's been. Again, we talked about it on the pod. I'm just saying off the top here. I think they're the worst team in the ACC, Florida State. They're one win against Jacksonville State. I think they're the worst team in the ACC. Who's worse than them? Who is worse than them in the ACC? Like, you go down their schedule, they lost to Georgia Tech. They're not worse than them.
I think Wake Forest would beat them.
Right. Me too.
Because they can score.
Miami, here's the rest of their schedule. UNC, Louisville, Pitt, NC State, Clemson, Virginia, Duke. I think Duke might be the only game that Duke might be legitimately the only game, the only team that.
Yeah, well, will they care at the end of the year? Like, it's like kind of like at the end of the year, it's like, yeah, why don't we just go home?
I don't know. I don't know if they win another game this year. Mm. I mean, it could happen. There's probably a game that they have the talent to upset, but they might not win another game. It's possible. Maybe NC State or something like that, but.
I do want to talk about the NBA Finals at some point in the show. Maybe we'll do it at the 50 just to kind of give it its due. But the odds the other day, 850 for the Heat to come back.
It was higher than that.
I saw 500 today.
It was almost like 10-1.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, do you think the Heat are going to win the series? Be honest.
What's happening with Anthony Davis?
He played through the injury last night. He 28
run
points.
In the last. No. He that last 5 minutes of the game, he couldn't move. That was a hell of a game, I thought. I really did.
He had 28-12.
No, dude, he was off. You know why? I don't know how they do this. And Markieff Morris tried at the end.
I saw that.
Just lob it into the guy, and he just finds the ball. I don't know how he does it.
I mean, that's all they need from him right now.
That's right. They let Dwight Howard do the rest.
No, he hit like a real good shot. He had a very good shot with like 40 seconds left.
To me, I'm going to be honest. I think he's the best player in the league.
Davis?
I really do. I think he's the best player in the league.
I don't think
it's
so.
Just he's a big. You know what I mean?
LeBron is outplaying him.
LeBron did everything he could last
Jimmy
night.
Butler is outplaying him.
Right now, Jimmy Butler might be the MVP of the series.
I still think it's LeBron. And LeBron had 40, 13, and 7. I know Butler had 35, 12, and 11. LeBron had 40, 13, and 7. Like, I mean, we're talking about two guys just battling it out. And then, I mean, Duncan Robinson saved the Heat last night. 7 three-pointers.
Who was covering him last night?
I didn't watch till the final like 5 minutes of the game because I think watching most of the time full NBA games is tough, especially.
Yeah, I watched pretty much the end of the second quarter. They were up 4 at half. I saw the second half line was 6.5. And I was like, are the Lakers going to close this thing out? The line indicated Miami would you know, stick around. The second half total was 105. It was 2 points off.
It was 103.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, 105, it landed 103. Yeah. Yep.
And it went over the total. The team, Miami Heat, team total went over again.
Dead.
Telling you, just going to keep going at it.
I am surprised. The Heat limited their bench last night. No Olynyk, no Solomon Hill, who I know they were trying earlier.
Iguodala gave him 0 points, and he was... He had 5 fouls.
He had 2 shots. Yeah. I mean, again, he was not in there to score. He was in there literally to play defense on LeBron at certain times and then cover, you know, Morris, Rondo, whatever, Kuzma, whoever he needed to flow to at others. But yeah, that was his role.
It's weird. Whenever anything 215 for a total goes over, and then when they move it like 260, like it was 219 the other night, under. It's just... When the way they play with these lines, the lower totals favor the Heat, obviously. Yeah, this has been an interesting series. Do I think the Lakers are going to win? Yeah.
They're going to win either in 6 or 7. It just depends on which game.
LeBron was awesome last night. I was this guy's awesome. And I know there are people who just hate LeBron. I know there are. The dude was great last night. He wanted it. There was a time where they just played good defense on him. He hit a layup, dude. I don't know how he did it. But again, I think down the stretch, Davis was just on the floor. He was just trying to be out there. And this is like late, like 3 minutes to go. He was hobbling. They showed him hobbling. And he did have a putback layup at one point that they reviewed to see if it went through before the buzzer or not. But I thought at the end it was they didn't let LeBron beat them. It worked. They were like, we're not going to let LeBron beat us tonight. And like it was like Caruso. Danny Green missed a 3. That's what it was.
I mean, LeBron made the right basketball play.
It was a great pass. He was wide open.
Danny
Green made that shot in San Antonio.
Everyone wants to knock LeBron for like kicking it out in that place. And like I get it, but like he made the right basketball play. And again, I mean, Jordan did the same thing to Steve Kerr in the same situation.
John Paxson before that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what they do. Don't let the best guys beat you. Let someone else beat you. They couldn't. And that's why the Heat won.
I agree.
And listen, Danny Green's done that before. He's been there before.
He has been the Lakers' probably worst player in the series.
Probably defensively, too. LeBron's been very mad at him.
Hey, I mean, he was...
Avery Bradley, I'm telling you, that's a big loss. I know they're probably going to win without him.
Avery Bradley doesn't do a ton in this. Who is Avery Bradley covering the series? He's not covering... Who?
Probably Duncan Robinson.
I mean, yeah, I guess you could say... Okay, so he was a big factor in one game?
He's a loss.
He's a small loss.
All right. There's 20 minutes of babble from last night and Thursday night. We got a good Seinfeld episode on. The one where he's trying to get the last Danish from the girl who's played Happy Gilmore's grandma.
Yep.
He's going to get kicked out. And she shoved him. Anyways. All right. Well, we're going to talk about the Red River Shootout.
There we go.
And any game you would like to discuss today, the phone number, this is how it works, the phone number. You pick up your phone, right? And you dial 617-779-0985. It rings. Jeff is going to say, Sports Hub. And you're going to be like, hey, I want to talk about this game today. And then he's going to punch in the name, in your name, the game, and then he'll put you on hold. And then when we see you on hold, we're going to go to you. That's how it works here. We're here for 2 hours till 9 a.m. today. Who's got that itchy hand? I got that itchy hand today, Dan.
All right. Let's get into the break.
It's over under 95.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lipschitz. Probably should have started that, the show with that. We have phone calls, Dan. People want to talk about all the games.
Let's do it.
Nate's in the car. What's up, Nate? You're on the Sports Hub.
What's going on, gentlemen? Thank you so much for having me on the show.
How you doing?
I'm a long-time listener. So my question is, I really don't bet. You know, like maybe a $20 bet here and there. I really want to do my first conservative bet, and I think I'm like 500 is a good way to start. Now, the finals with the Heat and L.A. Lakers, you know, LeBron James is a beast. But the Heat, you know, it just makes me a little anxious to do any type of bet. In this last couple of games, which one do you think will be a sure bet for my money?
A sure bet?
Well, I don't think there is such a thing. And I don't think that you should be going from betting 200 to 500.
Yeah, then. Yeah, 20 to 500.
Sorry, 20. Yeah,
here's what I would do, bud. Okay, you want to watch the game, put $100 on it and just see what happens. You know, you wanted to put 500 on it, why don't you put 100 on it? You got to put 110 for 100 based on what you want. The thing that's worked for me, it's plus money, so... I think it's up 4 units altogether, but I have taken the Heat team total over in every game of the playoffs, and I think I'm up 4 units altogether. Now, the game 6, I think it's going to be a little tighter. I actually don't know the line yet. Maybe I'll look that up if it's out yet.
It was 5 last night when it opened.
What's the deal with Anthony Davis? I know Dan thinks ho-hum, he'll be fine.
It's 5. Total's 215.
I didn't think he looked fine.
I didn't think he looked fine. I mean, he's definitely not 100%, but he had 28 and like 12 last night, Joe. I mean,
What about LeBron over points? He said sure thing, so I'm just reaching. I'm spitballing on these.
I mean, if you're looking for a player prop, you're probably looking more towards Butler.
Butler
in
over?
In my opinion, yep. Than LeBron, because LeBron can have games where he's going to distribute and be a pure distributor at times. And I think that, you know, a Butler has to do everything. Butler has to score, he has to distribute, and he usually has to rebound in order for them to win.
Agreed. 35 points last night. He doesn't shoot the 3 often, but he's been lights out on his free throws. The other thing with the Lakers, only 3 guys score for them, truly. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Caldwell Pope's been pretty good.
I'd say Rondo has had some pretty big games.
Yeah, Rondo 4 points last night.
But, yeah, last night he was not great. He was 1 of 7, but in general he's been pretty.
And you want Kuzma to be that guy. They can't leave him on the floor late, so that's why they get Morris.
I watched like flipping back and forth. What, the 2-3 minutes I saw of the game that was in the fourth quarter, Kuzma was the worst player on the floor.
He also gave up a 3 to Duncan Robinson, which was an and one. And then there's somewhere. Oh, Dwight Howard had a 6-point play. Where Butler got an and one, but he got the elbow to the head. So they got the free throw. They got the extra free throw. So it was 2, 4 points, and then another 2 points. A 6-point play. I think we saw that in one of the Celtics games this year against the Heat. But, yeah, that was all Dwight Howard in one play. Like, just all right in one play. We got Gary, who's in Woburn. What's up, Gary? You're on the Sports Hub.
Yes, I'm new to this show, even though I bet myself at 57 years of age. Question, you guys call yourself an over-under show?
Okay, what are you going with it, bud?
Well, do you guys strictly totals? Or
no, we do everything. We went over-under 98.5. That, get that's, it? 98.5?
That's the name of the show, Gary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. All right. One thing I wanted to say, Baltimore and Cincinnati, you guys talk pros too, right?
Yes, yep. Sir.
Okay. The game the last 7 years has ended within a touchdown, give or take. So Cincinnati's covered. 9 out of the 10 years they have covered at Baltimore history, even back to the Marvin Lewis years. I just figured I'd throw that out for a trend. BC, Pittsburgh today. I like Pittsburgh, and I don't know anything about the teams, the stat. I love them very much, and I'll tell you the reason why. They were a 10-point favorite at the end of the year. BC had to win to be bowl eligible. They did it, but I think it's inside the Pittsburgh coach's mind, who's been there now for 5 years, and the new coach for BC, it's his first year. I think it's going to be a lot of motivation for Pittsburgh to win.
All right, Gary. The trends on the Baltimore is right. I actually looked it up recently. It's been in favor of Cincinnati. Even last year, Dalton threw a two-point conversion to cover last year late. This was like, Dan, I remember it was like a long shot. They were down by like 24 and came back and covered, and I went wild. And I remember it was Dalton that put it together. Double-digit dogs do well. And let's not forget, Baltimore's banged up right now. Lamar Jackson will play this week. I don't know what Ian Rappaport tweeted out or whatever, but did you see that, by the way?
Yeah, he did. I think he did some like Barbasol or something commercial on his Instagram, and that's why he got suspended.
Oh, I
he
thought
did, he did some sort of commercial and tweet, and that's why.
I thought it was something else.
Apparently, that's why he got.
He tweeted out somebody was going to be a starter.
I don't think so.
All right, we can talk about that.
I think that's what I saw last. I'll see if I can pull up the article.
Pitt, BC. We slightly talked about this. The caller mentioned last year, BC beat Pitt. Pitt should be one of the top teams in the conference. They have a hell of a rushing defense. The BC struggled to run the football last week against UNC. Dracovic is pretty good. He can also move inside the pocket. The more I look at this game, I do like BC at home. I think Pittsburgh just hasn't played well or played to their – I think they play to their competition at times. What is it now? Six is where I think it's at, the line?
Six and a half.
So maybe there is a motivation factor here, but Pitt at home is something different. Remember last year, dude, anytime they played anyone at home
This is in Boston.
Yep. So, I see 6.5 live right now. And I'll give you some trends on that game in a minute here. But
here's my problem with both those things. It doesn't matter what Cincinnati did with Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis. Yeah. This is my problem with trends. It doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't matter. It's a new coach, a new quarterback. You're facing a new quarterback on the Baltimore side. Why does what the trend does 9 years ago matter? Why? There's no...
I just give it.
No, I get that, but there's no relevancy to it. Like, okay, great. 22 years ago, the Red Sox played this game. And, you know what I mean? Like, it's just... I understand the whole concept of history repeats. I just don't understand what...
Can I give you just a random trend then?
Sure.
In the BC Pitt game, the under is 3-0-1 in the last four meetings.
Should we
play the under?
Again, I look at that and say the trend thing, like if you want to go back like a year or two or whatever and say, look at, you know, here's this, here's that. I can understand you can take that. But like to go back 9 years and say they play close. Listen, I think divisional games are different, but I do think it's really tough to kind of go back and say, I'm going to take a play based upon the last 9 years, even though there's a new coach and a new quarterback. And I think that is where people who are strictly trend focused get killed.
Oh, you get killed. Yeah. If you're going into, well, I'm going to follow the trend. I agree with you on that, Dan. I give the trends so you can use it as information. All I'm telling you in this BC Pitt game is the unders do well, but what has BC been the last five years? A running football team that stays under the total and tries to play defense.
Right.
Because they never had a quarterback.
And this year, they're a totally different team. They put up 22 or more points per game.
Dude, Pickett and Dracovic are probably going to throw the football today. Dracovic.
I expect that too. BC's secondary has improved week over week, so I think that's and Pickett.
They don't turn the football over.
Pickett's. Let's be honest. Pickett is not playing well right now.
Nope.
He was bad last week. He did not play well, and Pittsburgh does not need to stack the box against BC like they have in the past. They probably have the best defensive line in the country, so they don't need to stack the box there. And they can play, you know, dime against Dracovic and make him throw. And I like Pittsburgh in that scenario. That being said, I think you should look more towards the total in this one than a side. Me personally, we discussed the total in the podcast, gave it out as a PP, but I do think that when you look back again on the trend, and you're going to say, well, the Pittsburgh head coach is upset about BC winning last year, but based off what? What motivation? How did that
BC is a whole new program this year.
So, Gary, I appreciate you for listening. I want you to try and go with a different angle in your thinking, because I think that the way that you're betting is the way of a $100 better, and I think that those guys usually lose. 95% of bettors lose. So
one more before the break. Teddy's in Marshfield. What's up, Teddy?
Hi. I want to talk about the Notre Dame Florida State game.
Okay.
So I'm a little nervous about Notre Dame coming off 2 bye weeks, 7 COVID positive tests a week before. Do you have any information about the COVID tests, who's playing, who's not?
Okay. Are you a big Notre Dame fan, thinking. Man?
Yeah.
Big you one. Like the movie Rudy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the speech that he gives in the locker room?
Yeah.
You know, can you give us a little bit of it?
I don't know it by memory.
Oh, okay. That was your chance, Teddy. We're going to get him. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to the board. And it's going to be us. And it's going to be us. Nobody comes into our house and tells us what to do. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Remember that speech that they do?
Yeah. I do. I've seen the movie like twice.
Twice?
I'm not a big fan.
Twice?
Of it. I'm not a huge fan of it.
You've only seen the movie twice?
I don't like Notre Dame. I'm an Ohio State fan. I don't like Notre Dame. Why the hell would I watch Rudy? Now, okay. Getting back to...
I also went to Catholic school.
Getting back to... Yeah.
Go ahead.
Exactly. Getting back to the game, I mean, 2 weeks for Notre Dame coming off a double bye. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at maybe they'll start slow, and maybe you're looking at a second-half play.
Dude, Florida State sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say this. I think they're going with Jordan Travis today as the quarterback.
Is that who they finished with last week? I think Travis is who they finished.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
He's a Louisville transfer.
Yes, and he was not great last week either. Look, I think Notre Dame is going to win. So if you're worried about Notre Dame winning, I think you're pretty safe there. But if you are worried about them covering, I think that's fair. I think it's possible they start super slow and 21 points is a little bit too much. I think it's possible.
617-779-0985. You like any game today? Jeff will answer the phone, put you on hold, and put you right through. He's Dan Lifschitz. I'm Joe Murray. We'll talk to you after.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The DraftKings over under show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is the DraftKings over under show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're gonna go inside, we're gonna go outside, inside and outside. We're gonna get him on the run, boys. Once we get him on the run, we're gonna keep him on the run. And then we're going to go, and we're not going to stop until we get across that goal line. This is a team they say is good. Well, I think we're better than them. They can't lick us. What do you say, man?
Rudy, you know? What do you say, man? We're going to run. I figured that little kid would have known.
Can I be honest with you? That was terrible. That was horrible.
I mean, what do you think of... I only know him as Rock. Charles S. Dutton. God. You know? I only know him as that guy.
I have not seen that movie since I was in middle school, maybe early high school, and I am happy I've not seen it since that point.
What else did I see? I saw her Back to School last night. Rodney Dangerfield. And the guy that plays Rudy's father is the like superintendent guy or whatever. I don't know where I'm going down this road right now, but anyways, I get the feels sometimes when I watch Rudy. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Really?
Touchdown Jesus.
Oh, God.
You know,
you're a sap for like the classic sports movie, but like. I get the appeal of Rudy. I just hate Notre Dame, so there's zero appeal for me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just, God. Just, it was, you know, I'd love a Notre Dame varsity jacket.
Ew.
I know there's people out there who want one. And he got one from his friend, like, used. And he's like, this is the greatest gift I ever got. He wore it everywhere, and he wanted to be on the team so bad he like lied about being on the equipment team so he could like paint helmets. Anyways, Dan, do you want to give out a pick right now?
Yeah, you want to go to the NFL?
You know what? We should, because we don't give the NFL enough love on this show sometimes.
I agree. We focus a lot on college sometimes and whatever. So I don't know. I don't know if I should do this on air, so I think I'll keep it off air for right now, and maybe I'll go back. But there was a long conversation on these airwaves about the Colts-Browns game yesterday. I'm not going to say where. Feels like a lot of people like the Browns this week. The Colts are, I believe, the number one defense in football right now.
Mm-hmm.
Traded for an elite defensive lineman this year, okay, in DeForest Buckner from San Francisco. I think he's transformed the front seven of that defense. They added Justin Houston. They have been very stingy in terms of their defense. Obviously, we saw that against the Chicago team. You know, Nick Foles could not move the ball on them. The Colts dominated that game. I'm going to go back to the Colts well. And, Jeff, if you don't mind turning my computer on for this one.
Oh, get it going, Jeff.
I'm
going
to take the Colts pick 'em. It's a pick 'em right now. PP, give me the Colts. I'm taking the Colts. I think the Browns are 3-1. They've looked very good. When Baker Mayfield can't run the ball and is forced to throw X amount of times a game, I will take that, because I think we know by now what Baker Mayfield is. And I don't think you can have Jarvis Landry throwing dimes to Odell Beckham Jr. in the back of the end zone every game. Just my opinion.
Odell Beckham's been awesome.
Awesome.
What happened a year ago to now? I don't know.
He had a different quarterback the other day. That was Jarvis Landry, who was throwing dimes to him.
I couldn't agree with you more on this take. I couldn't agree with you more. Last week, I looked at the line. It wasn't right. We discussed it. If that game was in Indianapolis, it's an 8 or 9 point spread. They owned them. They were awesome. The Bears couldn't do anything. Now, is Nick Chubb going to play?
No, Nick Chubb is hurt with an MCL. He is out, I believe, 6 weeks.
That's not good.
So Kareem Hunt is going to be the lead back.
Who was decent on the goal line? He was much better on the goal line than I thought.
Kareem Hunt was really talented in Kansas City, and he looks like he's pretty much back to his old self. I'd say he's very explosive, but again, you face the number one defense and you're putting the ball in Baker Mayfield's hands and expecting him not to make mistakes, and I think that is a bad combination.
The only thing I don't like about the play is back-to-back weeks on the road winning. It's not easy in the NFL.
I agree. I do agree with that. But I think
it's better to fade Cleveland after a win like last week. They're not mentally tough.
And they allowed Dallas. They almost allowed Dallas in that game. Beckham does not score that touchdown.
On that reverse, yep.
Then I think there's a very good chance that Dallas wins that game. Not to mention, at least you have Phillip Rivers if you're the Colts. I mean, again, I think that veteran presence on the road is important, because you know you're going to probably get consistency, whatever Phillip Rivers is consistent-wise. I'm not saying he's great, but, you know, consistent-wise.
I feel like Frank Reich has helped Phillip Rivers. I don't know. I feel like, you know, those quarterback minds. Rivers used to implode. We haven't seen an implosion yet.
Watch it come this week.
yeah.
And the offensive line has been good for them, too. So I think that they'll be doing okay.
Mike's in Charlestown. He has a question about Joe's algorithms. Did you know how to spell algorithms, Jeff? Okay. What's going on, Mike? What's sports up?
What's up, guys? No, it's for Dan, actually. Oh, okay. So, you know, well, you know how you guys – Dan, you say you don't factor in that East Coast to West Coast. as far as like when you pick a team. You said that's like old news.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I think with the exception of my with the Florida teams, you're pretty much looking at a non-existent angle anymore.
Okay. So you know how like you say the look ahead factor in the game, does that have like a number?
The sandwich, like, the sandwich does, they call it the sandwich, that does have an impact.
You're asking what the value is in a look ahead spot?
Yeah, because you do reference it a lot. Yeah. So I was just
like, for example,
wondering if that has a number.
Who has Alabama next week? Who's playing Alabama next week?
I can't remember.
Was it Georgia?
I think it
No. I'm trying to think of what game it was.
I can't remember I understand what you're saying. There's no true number in terms of how to view a look at spot in, you know, because every situation is going to be different. And Jeff, you can turn on my computer because I don't want to play some sound over the air again. But I think they're playing Georgia next week. Okay.
There you go.
So Georgia's in a look ahead spot. What I would say in terms of actual value for a look ahead, there's no true value week to week, but I think you can make a determination based upon spots and using your mostly a model based. Okay. You can get a determination of how you feel. And what I usually would say is it ranges anywhere from 2 to 5 points a game. Okay. I think there's different types of look at spots. Is it looking on the road? Is it looking at home? You know, are you going to be facing, you know, is it a top 25 team versus a top 25 team? Unranked versus top 25. There's different types of spots, especially in college football, because I think there's more true look ads in college football than there are in the NFL. But I do think that they also exist there. But I do think that you're looking, when you're actually assigning a point value to it, it really depends on the situation because there's all sorts.
Let me give you an NFL one. Raiders go on the road to the Chiefs. The Chiefs play a short week now and then play Buffalo on Thursday.
I don't think that game's Thursday. So do not think that that's the case.
Either way, though, they'll play Buffalo next.
Right.
Which, to me, that's the battle of the AFC. Chiefs have already beaten the Ravens. And if Buffalo wins this week, they're both undefeated.
I don't think that's a look-in spot at all.
Okay.
Yeah, because, again...
And I know it might be easier in college football. You might be... Like, some teams... You mentioned Auburn. Auburn against Kentucky, it might have been worth a fade in that one because Auburn was playing Georgia the next week.
Right.
They obviously covered the spread, but that's why you were looking at it there. The sandwich, I think, is more – the look-ahead sandwich, I think, is an important thing based off who the opponent is more than the actual team, I suppose, the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of looking at it. Just in terms of actually calculating a look-ahead spot – it's going to depend on the situation. It's going to depend on the team. It's also going to depend on how they're playing. Like, if you have a team like Georgia who's playing really stout defensively and they're going to be in a look-ahead spot, are they going to overlook Tennessee this week to Bama? I don't know. So how do you assess the value there? And I think that kind of gets tougher than, you know, maybe how does Iowa State treat Oklahoma compared to, you know, Texas Tech. So I think there's a different assigned value for different look-ahead spots, and I think you need to make the determination based upon the actual situation.
I got a pick coming up for you, coming up next in the NFL, and then we'll hit the headlines after that, and then we'll want to look at the old Miami-Clemson game tonight.
Yep.
We'll do that coming up next, DraftKings Over-Under Show.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, going to give out one pick here. In the NFL. You got the sounder ready, Dan?
I'm ready. I got the bell.
And you can tell me if you like it, if you feed it, or follow it.
Okay.
Philadelphia at Pittsburgh, 1 o'clock. The live total right now is 44. I am going over 44.
Interesting.
Now, I have a bad trend here. You know how I like to give out trends, right?
You know, I don't care about the trends, but I will listen. I will listen.
The under is 4-0 in the last four meetings.
So what is that, the past 12 years, something like that?
Yes, the last, when was the last meeting between these two?
Probably like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
I have all that info. Okay. I had a nice little preview. Pittsburgh won the last game 31-14.
When was that?
That is 45 points, right? 31, 41, yep. 45 points.
Yeah, when was, that? When was that?
2018.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Not terribly long.
Pittsburgh's had 2 weeks off. We know that the Eagles got going a little bit last night. DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey actually practiced this week. Wow. Pennsylvania. I don't know. I'm spitball. Give me the over.
Give him the over. Yeah, Pittsburgh's defense at times has been really, really good.
At home, they're awesome.
Right, which is why I would probably go the other direction in that one.
Give me Pittsburgh 31-17.
Okay. I don't think Pittsburgh's putting up 31, but I understand where you're going. I think you can get 45. I think 45 is a nice number there. I think you can get to 45.
All right, here come the headlines, and then we will do, we wanted to do Clemson, Miami. We wanted to do the River Shootout, and then we have the rest of the NFL.
Let's do the big college games, and then we'll hit the NFL.
All right, coming up next.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour two. Deuce. I don't know any other language. That's hour two.
Dose.
You got anything else back there, Jeff? I don't know. No. Thought you might
nothing.
Have. Nothing. Yeah, I thought you get some French somewhere in there.
I'm from Lawrence, so I know okay. A little bit of Spanish.
Yeah,
is it do?
It's the over under do. Do. What do we got? What do we have there? Dan, we have top 25 matchups.
Yeah, so as we talked about, we're going to dig in. Where do you want to start in these college football matchups? Because there are four or five pretty good ones today.
Let's do the nooners.
Okay, Florida, Texas A&M.
You know how I feel. I think Florida is going to be in the ACC championship game.
SEC.
They would definitely be in the ACC.
That would be in the ACC championship. We agree there.
Kellen Mond. I know. I mentioned it. I think Isaiah Spiller is very good. And I think Florida is going to try to. I say Florida funny. I think the Gators are going to try to stop Isaiah Spiller and make Kellen Mond beat them. The line keeps dropping, Dan.
It does. I told you with the sharp side was A&M. That guy Tunes hit it on. Was it Wednesday, something like that? And went from 7 to 6.5, and now it's dropped from 6.5 to 5. We're sitting at 5 currently. I loved it at 7. 5, I think it's still the same. It's that dead number, Joe. That dead number that people are so scared of these days. I ultimately think Texas A&M not only covers this game, I think they win it outright. I think they hand Florida their first loss of the season. A&M's had an interestingly tough road so far, okay? I mean, they
the Alabama game, tough. They hung around and then got their doors blown off.
Yeah, they did, but I think that's fair.
I mean, I guess if you say Kellen Mond threw for over 300 yards against Alabama, you would think that's impressive, but the guy's like a fifth-year senior, I think.
Do you think he's going to be a first-round pick in the NFL?
I don't know. He loves Dak Prescott, Kellen Mond. He's like, you know, just thinks Dak... I think they, you know, obviously may have known each other or whatever.
Did they? Because Dak went to Miss State?
Well, yeah, they have like this like weird thing.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
The Aggies defense stinks. They have 435 yards and 4 touchdowns to Mac Jones. I think Trask is very good. It's their defense that's their problem. Kellen Mond, though? First round pick, I think.
Florida gave up 24 to South Carolina. They gave up 35 to Ole Miss. Like, they scored a lot.
The Florida defense is not as good as we thought. Or so far has not been as good as I thought. Kyle Trask has been better than I thought.
In College Station today on a look-ahead spot to play LSU next week.
You know what got me? But I didn't even mention this one. I think we have to. The Gators did have a positive COVID result this week.
Interesting.
So we don't know who's exactly playing and who's not.
Okay, so you think there's a potential there for a couple guys to be out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, I had not heard that, so that's information.
Yeah, Gators reported one positive case of COVID on Tuesday. Dan Mullen opted not to discuss which players.
Okay, so it's... I don't know if that's a good... honestly, I don't know how to read that. I don't know if that means it's an important player or if it's a nobody. I think that that's probably a smart move by Mullen not to disclose who it is. Not to mention the players probably don't want it to be disclosed.
So, in this conference game, I will say this. Texas A&M playing at that stadium, they're covering machine, man.
They did not cover Riz Vandy to open the season.
Yeah, and that was the look ahead to Alabama. Sandwich game, right?
Yeah, I agree.
That caller asked about that one.
I agree. That is a sandwich spot. I also think Florida looking ahead at LSU is, I think, significantly more talented than Texas A&M. And I think that Florida...
These two teams don't play often.
This is... I don't think this is a game that Florida can look ahead to, but they might anyways.
All right, the over's 4-0 in Florida's last four games overall. 4-0 is a favorite. 8-1 as a road favorite. Like, the over is, like, dominant. In, I have not seen one under on the over-under trends.
Florida, Texas A&M, the total opened at 59. It is now down to 58, despite getting 85% of the bet. 70% of the money is on the under, which means you know the sharper side probably trends to the under. And if that... If you think that it's going to go under, I would lean A&M.
I agree with you.
Because that means that A&M is able to score enough to keep up with Florida, and Florida was not able to expose their defense. So if you like the under, I think you like A&M as well. That's the way I would look at that one.
All right, I see you guys line up on the phone lines. Let's just hit one more game. We've teased it all day. The Red River Shootout. Two teams that just are not playing to their expectations.
Nope.
Oklahoma back-to-back. Can Oklahoma lose three in a row?
They certainly can against a team like Texas, who, despite the loss to TCU, Texas has been a good team this year, you know.
Well, they had to sneak out a win. They lose last week.
They've been an okay team this year.
Sam Ellinger, in this matchup, has faced the Sooners four times. Texas is 1-3.
Okay. That's not great. They opened the season dominating UTEP 59-3. Had a miracle win against Texas Tech and then lost to Gary Patterson at home. Oklahoma opened the season with a 48-0 win over Missouri State. Lost to Kansas State at home in a game they were up by 21. And then lost to Iowa State and Matt Campbell in Ames last week. So, yeah, Oklahoma's definitely been the more disappointing of the teams, but neither of these
unranked
teams are great.
Going into the Red River Shootout.
Yeah.
Unranked.
I think that if you're taking a side in this one, I think you have to be pretty confident about what side you want to take.
And Oklahoma's the favorite.
Yes. They open at two and a half, depending on where you get your lines.
I love this
game. It's up to three.
Oklahoma's, it's probably going to be what's his name on the call there, the guy who goes nuts. They're in basketball. They're passed downfield. What's that guy's name? The announcer there. Everyone loves him. Oh, come on. The guy who did all the NCAA basketball tournaments. He freaks out all the time.
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
There's a bunch of guys.
Somebody will know. They'll tweet me.
I'll look it up.
You'll know who I'm talking about. He works for Fox. Come on.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
I'll find him.
Okay. Either way, I think that you're going to be looking at a high-scoring game. Oklahoma's defense has been...
Gus
Johnson.
There you go.
Oklahoma's defense has been suspect early on. I mean, you allow what? How many do you allow to Kansas State? 38 at home to Skylar Thompson in Kansas State? I know Kansas State beat them last year, but that is... That's a lot. Rattler has been really bad at the end of games.
Should we just take the over and call it a day?
I don't
have a side at all in this one.
I lean
72.5.
I lean. If you're making me choose a side, I'm going Oklahoma. But
Dan,
I say lean,
it's a pick.
No, it's not. If you say lean,
it's a pick.
It's not. I would never. I would not bet that.
I'm busting.
Oklahoma at 3 is a ridiculous line to bet. No, I'll pass. Thank you. If you could get Oklahoma at 2.5, maybe you could make an argument for there. I think Oklahoma at 2, 2.5, and Texas at 3, you can make arguments for both those sides.
I asked you this last week. I'll ask you it again because it hit last week and I asked you. If there's one noon game you would like to bet today, which one would it be?
One noon game.
Because we gave Coastal last week, even though we kind of didn't, but we did. Yeah.
So I gave a 12 o'clock PP in the podcast, okay. So I'll do that. So I'll stick with that one. But again, for me, even at 5, it'd be A&M. Yeah, it'd be A&M because I think that A&M is in a good situation, a good situational spot, coming off a beat down from Alabama. I think this is a good rebound spot for them, and I think Florida is in a potential back-to-back look at on the road, and Trask has not had to face adversity this year, and neither has that defense, so I think that would be the spot I look at.
Okay. Michael's in Alabama. Hello, Michael. You're on the Sports Hub.
Yeah, hey, guys. So I called last week about the Alabama game. I just wanted to clarify really quick to Dan about what I said. I did not say that Alabama was bad with Mac Jones on offense. I just said the ceiling wasn't as high as it was with Tagovailoa, which it's not.
I don't agree with that at all. I think you're completely wrong. I think Alabama's offense with Mac Jones has a much higher ceiling, especially with they have 3 first-round picks, a potential as wide receiver.
They also had 3 first-round picks last year, though.
Right, and that's my point. And Mac Jones has been better than Tua Tagovailoa. Now, Tagovailoa might be a better NFL prospect, but in terms of the actual college game, Mac Jones is a better fit for them.
He's a game. Yeah, he's a little more of a
game. And that's the thing. I think he's more of an Alabama prototype.
Yeah,
and
he's
like
that
Mac
old,
Jones. I just think
what's his face?
The offense
there?
Is more explosive with Tagovailoa.
He's that Greg McElroy type.
I'm going to sit here and say I don't agree with that statement. I think Alabama actually has another year in Najee Harris, 2 first round picks, another explosive freshman wide receiver. And a better offensive line this year. I don't agree.
Well, listen, this is a good little weekend conversation here. But what are you liking today? Do you have an Alabama take today on the game?
Yeah, I do. So the I believe the line is -23 to Alabama. But I don't know. It's going to be a bad weather game. I was kind of leaning over. I believe it's high, though. It's like 68.5. But it might be a bad weather game with the hurricane down there. They had to reschedule the timing of the game. I was just wondering on the over-under.
We'll look into that. Last year, though, Alabama put up 59 points.
The total opened 73. It has dipped to 68 because of the weather he's talking about. And also, Bama, again, we talked about this earlier, faces Georgia at home next week.
Sandwich.
Yeah, so it is a...
Listen, I mentioned this before. Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss, Nick Saban, Alabama.
None of the mix.
I am just going to say that Alabama might put up another 50 points today. What do you call them? 50 burgers?
50 burgers.
I think we may see a 50 burger. Therefore, I lean over. What was the total again?
68 is the total. It is supposed to be 66 and rainy today, and it is definitely going to rain. The wind, Joe, 23 miles per hour.
Just one more thing on
don't kick the ball. Go
Gus
for
Johnson. Time. Gus Johnson. Gus yes. Johnson. Gus Johnson. I think Mac Jones is fine. I do agree that he is like a prototype Alabama quarterback, though. Not the Jalen Hurts, not the Tua.
I think
so those guys were exceptional athletes.
I think he's a better downfield thrower than Tua.
No. What I mean is I think he's better than Greg McElroy, who won a championship for them.
Yeah, of course. Okay. He's much better.
But what I mean, though, by Mac Jones is like he still was a star recruit and all that. I just don't think he's like the athlete.
Yeah. No,
the speed and the get. Like, I never saw anyone get to the outside like Jalen Hurts did. you know, up until we saw, like, you know, Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? Before that.
That's fair.
Like, there's just some guys you just never – like Tua could run the RPO in college with all those receivers. Like, it was nobody's business.
Right.
But Mac Jones, in four games last year, put up better numbers than some guys did in 8-9 games in a season.
And that's kind of my point, is I think people are undervaluing Mac Jones because of Tua last year. And I think that Alabama's offense might actually work better with Mac Jones. Now, that's not saying that Mac Jones is a better quarterback or is going to be a better NFL player. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think that Alabama's offense with Mac Jones is every bit as explosive as it was with Tua, and I think even some cases more so.
I think they like it because he doesn't turn the football over.
Also,
they like him. And, you know, just another thing, they had a chance to beat Auburn last year. Mac Jones brought him all the way back. The damn field goal kicker missed it.
I remember that.
Kicker.
That was a bad game for Joe.
Kickers.
Yeah. All right, do you want to touch upon the other top 25 game before we hit break?
Yeah, what we got?
Okay. We got Georgia-Tennessee. I think this one is pretty straightforward. Georgia has an elite defense. Tennessee has a shaky quarterback, and I feel they're being pretty overvalued with, as my buddy Colby calls him, Jared Guantanamo Bay. Guarantano. Okay, because he is dangerous.
I like that.
And, yes. And Georgia and Stetson Bennett are in, isn't Bennett your prototypical Alabama quarterback? Doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah, he just reminds, I don't
check,
like him.
Check down Bennett, neither do I.
He looked good last week, though.
He's a nice player. He's a check down machine, I think. He's not super
explosive. He's not Jake Fromm.
No. He's not super explosive. I wonder if they're going to mix JT Danielson.
Bill Belichick does not anticipate Cam Newton practicing today. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Interesting.
Sorry to cut off here.
That is important because we are going to get in the Patriots line coming up here. So, but
Georgia or nothing for me. How about that one?
I agree. The problem is it's a look ahead spot to Bama. I refuse to bet Georgia. I will absolutely not be on that. The total is at 43, and I think that tells you all you really need to know about this game. It's going to be
27-13.
It's going to be.
What's the line again?
12.5.
Ooh, 27-13.
I think this is going to be a ground and pound whoever's defense wins type football game.
All right. I know we have somebody on the line who wants to talk about the Texans-Jags game. We'll do that here on the other side. It's 98.5 The Sports.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshitz. We get tweets all the time, like our DMs. Hey, guys, when's your podcast out? We're on now. 7 to 9. 7 to 9 we're on. And then we do a two-hour podcast on Thursday nights. So anything you don't get now, we actually discuss every game on the podcast.
Yes.
Which is worth listening to. Kevin is in Westminster. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Looking at the Texans-Jacksonville game today or tomorrow and wondering if I should take the Texans against the spread or am I just being a little too hopeful that they're going to be good after Bill O'Brien's fired?
Let me ask you this, Kevin. Would you put money on a team that's 0-4 this year?
Valid point.
Thank you.
I don't think it's a bad question. I don't. Thanks for calling in, Kev. Here's the way I look at it. Do you think the players are going to get up to play for Romeo Crennel?
I think there might be a little burst without Bill O'Brien.
So I don't think they'll play for Crennel, but I think they might play to give an FU to Bill O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure they'll get up for Crennel, but maybe they'll get up against
Bill
O'Brien.
This is a divisional game.
It is.
The Texans probably are more talented than...
Definitely more talented. At least they know this team. It's not like Bill O'Brien had some knowledge base that Romeo Crennel doesn't have about the Jaguars, you know? Divisional game.
Yeah, which makes me feel like it's a closer game.
Yeah, but I can see a two-touchdown game and the Jags scored seven and, you know, the Texans win in a, you know, in a shootout style win by a touchdown or 10 points. I can definitely see that type of game.
You want some trends, Dan?
Okay, hit me.
Jaguars 6-2-1 against the spread their last nine meetings in Houston. The road team is 13-4-1 in the last 18 meetings. The under is 4-1 in the last five meetings in Houston. The under has hit four times in a row in this matchup.
Interesting. It's a high total. Again, I know right now the NFL, you literally
yeah. Well, you can't take you know what? You can't take unders anymore. Oh, can't no. do it.
I mean, it hit Thursday.
Well, Thursday.
We talked about that one. It hit Thursday, Joe. So I mean, you know.
I know, but all these other ones just
did
fly
you hold on?
Over.
Did you bet the under Thursday?
Yeah, I did.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too. All right. Here's what
I also had the Bucks though.
Oh, okay. That's gross.
I hated the refs. I didn't lose my bet because of the refs. But they sucked.
I thought the Bucks sucked more than the refs sucked.
God. What was worse, the Jets loss or the Bucks loss?
For what do you mean? What was
like
worse?
Last Thursday night to this Thursday night?
I expect that crap show from the Jets. Yeah. So absolutely, Tampa Bay. Yeah. I expect the crap show from the Jets.
It was both bad, though.
It was definitely not good.
And then Brady didn't know that he had four. Like, what happened this
week? What is going on?
What happened?
Is there something in the water in Tampa that makes you stupider?
What happened to Hoyer last week?
I mean, that's his Brian Hoyer's whole career.
Speaking of that, Bill Belichick's talking at a press conference today with a mask on. Cam Newton will not practice today. Dan Lifshatz tweeted out, will Belichick play a quarterback that has not practiced?
I don't think he's done that. I can't remember. And again, I can't remember Brady ever starting if he didn't practice. But also, I can't remember Brady ever really being hurt. So it's a new kind of situation, I think, for Patriots fans, right?
Stephon Gilmore also will not practice.
Yeah, I do not see Gilmore playing. I don't. Especially after he played last week. I doubt it. Belichick said we're going day by day, hour by hour with Cam Newton. So I can't imagine.
Real quick on that line. DraftKings has it at 5, but you can't bet it. Everywhere else I see 10 and 11.
It's 8 on FanDuel. It's 5 on DraftKings, but it's now off the board, so I don't know if that's... Yeah,
I haven't seen a local that will take your bet.
There's no local lines. And then Westgate, which is in Vegas, so we're using the Westgate line there, is 10. Okay, so...
Who at quarterback?
I don't think you're going to see a
line
in this game.
A 10-point favorite.
I don't think you're going to see, especially if is Drew Lock playing. We don't know who's starting for either one of these teams. I don't think you're going to see a line on this game until Monday morning or Sunday night. I think that's the most likely line time you'll see a line. Because it opened at 10. Westgate apparently still has a 10. DraftKings had a 5. That's gone. There's the Buffalo-Tennessee line was 6.5. That's gone. So I don't really know where we're going with any of these lines. And then also Buffalo-Tennessee was 1. So I don't know. I don't know. Tennessee apparently opened at 6.5-point favorites for that game. And then it went to Buffalo -1, and now it's Buffalo -6.5. I don't know.
I have a pick, Dan, that is not in football or basketball or baseball.
Interesting. Can I give you a pick before we go?
Hey, hey, hey!
I'll give you one.
Who you got?
Okay, give me, and it sucks that it's not a 10 because I'm going to try and wait for a 10. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs minus 11. Ooh. I am going to take them, and I'm going to say that Patrick Mahomes, coming off one of his worst offensive performances, gets back to one of his best offensive performances against a divisional opponent. I know people think it's a look ahead to the Bills spot. I do not. And if it is, it's not much of one. So give me Kansas City minus 11.
I just want to be accurate because I remember betting this game last year. Let's see here. Yeah, Kansas City won 49. And they were like 17-point favorites or something.
The total in this one is also 56, which makes me think that there's going to be some points on both sides. But higher total, to me, favors the favorite, in my opinion. Unless you think that the Raiders are going to explode for 40 points or something. The higher total favors the favorite.
617-779-0985. We'll go through the NFL slate. And, of course, there's that big Clemson-Miami game, which I have a pick on. I have two more picks, Dan. Not sure what you have,
I think you gave a pick on that one on Thursday.
I did.
Okay.
But I have one more pick that I haven't given up.
Oh, you can give that pick again. That's fine.
And it might have something to do with a little rackets.
Tennis?
Rackets.
Oh, boy. Okay.
We'll talk about that coming up next, 98.5 The Sports Zone.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show. Got a little beat here, huh, Jeff? Huh? Feel like we're doing a little wobble. You ever wobbled it?
Do I look like the kind of guy who can wobble? Yeah.
I don't think you're
on beat. I think you're a little off beat there.
Wobble.
What do you want to do? You want to
do NFL pick now or what?
Oh, yeah, hit me. Absolutely hit me.
All right. Tennis. American tennis, I think it's called.
No, it's just tennis.
not like the other stuff that on our table.
Racquetball. All that other stuff.
Tomorrow in the Philippine Chatria. I think that's what it's called. Novak Djokovic versus Rafael Nadal. 9 a.m. Give me Novak Djokovic to win the Philippine Chatrier.
What's the line?
Oh.
I'll just PP it for right now.
Thank you. Hang on. I'm getting there.
Okay.
What do you think? I mean, remember our buddy got kicked out for hitting a ball at a lady? But he really didn't hit a ball at a lady.
Yes, I do.
She just got like really mad.
I think that is to this day the stupidest rule in tennis.
Sorry, is this the French Open?
No.
Never mind. Rafael Nadal is the favorite. Give me Novak Djokovic plus 130.
Novak Djokovic plus 130. All right. There you go.
What is this? Hang on. I want to know what the name of this thing is. It's trying to tell me it's the French Open, but I'm not believing it.
I mean, it could be the French Open final. I have not seen it. I have not watched a single.
That's how much we watch tennis, everybody.
Yeah, I've not seen a single second of it. Okay, yeah, it is the French Open final.
French Open, Philippines. No, it says maybe Philippine Chatrier, whatever that is.
I don't know.
Philippe. Sorry. Never mind. It's the French Open, everybody.
French Open. There we go.
Oh, jeez, we can't edit that one.
I think we'll live with that. I don't pay attention to tennis, so there you go. Yeah.
Somebody just asked me, where can I stream the show from this morning? We are live! Live!
98.5 The Sports Hub app.
The app on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Sorry, Dan. I apologize to everybody on the French Open. I really do.
Dude, I had no idea what was even going on. So, you know, I mean, you know more than I do, apparently.
I mean, Chatrier, I should have been like, you know, whatever. It's the.
All right, question. Do you want to do the Miami-Clemson game now, or you want to do the NFL?
Let's take Tom's call on Route 3. What's up, Tom?
All right.
Hey, man. Morning, fellas.
How you doing?
Reminds me of the Australian Open out in Vegas, waking up at 6 a.m. to go bet that after not going to sleep. But that's
How are you waking up if you didn't go to sleep, Tom?
I mean, like, you know, you go like an hour or two. You know, gotcha. You're taking
a little power nap.
Sometimes a 90-minute power nap.
Yeah, a little power nap. Okay. All right.
So I enjoy the college football game way more than the NFL. And gambling-wise, it's been a struggle because the rankings usually kind of helped you a little bit. And those kind of screwed you up. So I'm looking at guys like BYU. BYU's made me a ton of dough. And I think their quarterback's awesome. But in tonight's game with Clemson and Miami, I think how could you not take the, you know, Clemson -14? I think that's absolutely taking money. They're a fantastic team in Miami. Really have a good quarterback. That's about it.
They're
better. I was wondering what your thoughts were on BYU, too, though. BYU is just a wagon right now.
Dude, we talk about this on the podcast. I appreciate the call, man. We're here every Saturday. I love BYU. I think they're going to run the table this year. I don't know about 35 this week. I don't.
I think the total kind of tells us that the UTSA is going to put up something, right? 63.5? 63? By the way, I like the over there. If it was 61, I think I'm PPing that. 63 is a little bit much for me. But I do like the over in BYU. I just think UTSA will score a little bit. I don't know about the side. I don't feel great about the side there.
Everyone's mad because I'm going against Nadal on clay.
I don't. I come on.
You can't just give out a
dude,
pick.
Dude, I don't even know what
you
that means.
You can't give out a. I'm sorry. I know.
I mean, listen.
I just gave out a pick. You can fade or follow it.
I do.
Fading Nadal on clay.
I do understand that.
Fading Nadal. You're taking Djokovic over Nadal on clay. All right. We have, as the caller just mentioned, number one, Clemson versus Miami. Miami is better this year. Let's face it. The quarterback has a lot to do with hiding a lot of their deficiencies.
Garrett King has made that team and has actually helped their talent a lot.
Could Clemson go up 21 and give up backdoor points? Absolutely. Derrick King's the perfect. I've watched Derrick King beat Oklahoma before. I've seen it. They're playing a different beast tonight. I'm sorry. You look at now the Miami wins. Sorry. Clemson, the way they played last week, Dan, to this, I know they haven't covered yet. I think Travis Etienne's going to be the difference tonight. He's going to expose the Miami defensive line for what it is. UAB had a really good running game. Remember, they hung around early on. This is a different running game. And I think this is the best defense D'Arc King is going to see all year long.
Remember, right now, Miami is getting a lot of hype because they dominated Louisville in Louisville. That game is not looking like a great win anymore. I mean, Louisville has really been on the downswing since that loss. Lost to Pittsburgh, lost to Miami, lost to Georgia Tech. Their first game was against UAB, who I think that they won by 17. I think that game should have been closer than it appeared. I thought UAB should have covered that one. And then Florida State is the worst team in the ACC. Again, I'm going to keep repeating that. Clemson, to me, in the second half, has not tried. Didn't try versus Wake, didn't score a single point versus the Citadel. And I think they gave it some try last week, and I think Brendan Armstrong and the Virginia team just played really well in the second half, and I think that Clemson played a basic we don't want to show you too much in the second half, and I thought that you know, they just didn't do too much. Clemson's not doing that today. This game and Notre Dame are probably their two biggest games on the schedule. Virginia Tech at the end of the season, Pittsburgh at the end of the season, you can argue those might be some quality wins, and I would agree. They need to blow out Miami to potentially make a playoff run. Need to blow out Miami, need to blow out Notre Dame. They need to, because the committee is going to be looking at their schedule being like, you played Wake in Virginia. You played Pittsburgh. That's those are your marquee wins. They need to blow Miami. They need to blow Notre Dame.
One more thing. You nailed it. This is the competition for Clemson this year. We thought it was Notre Dame. Who's on deck at some point?
I still think Notre Dame might be.
This is Clemson has, like, Ohio State has to beat Michigan, right? They got to play Wisconsin. They got to play all these other teams. They just need to beat the ACC. Now you got to take out Miami, who you own. You've beat them 92-3 the last two seasons. And then you have to beat Notre Dame. And you're in the final. You're in the ACC championship game against Virginia, probably.
And not only that, you know? Miami's probably overrated right now, especially with their wins, and Clemson's probably underrated. 49-0 against the Citadel first half, didn't score a single point in the second half. Dominating UVA by 24 at some point in that game, they win by 18.
GPNP, what's up?
Breakfast with the Bankroll Boys. Hey, Joe Murray, you got to remember, is the clay hot or soft? That's going to affect that court. Don't try to mess with tennis people or soccer moms or soccer people. They go nuts.
JP, yes, they do, Joe, JP.
I'm sorry.
They get angry, dude.
I'm already regretting every bit of it.
don't even go. You'd be better off betting, Touch It Rich got that tournament for his kids' little league today. Go bet on those games up in Newton. Hey, I got a real question and then two prop bets. The real one, I miss what you said. Tennessee loves to gag against top 10 teams. Can Georgia cover that 14.5 spread? Was my first question. And then I need a prop bet on Butler getting the MVP of the tournament and Bruins for next year now that they lost Crew, because I'd love to put an early prop bet in on the Bruins.
Thank you. I saw the Bruins were the third favorite to win the cup again.
Yeah, they are. The Bruins are JP, save your money on the Bruins.
Yeah, I'm out.
In the Georgia game?
Georgia game, we kind of discussed it. We feel it's a low-scoring, maybe tightish game, but Georgia's the better team?
12.5 is the spread, by the way, not 14.5. That's a key number. You definitely don't want the 14.5 there. If you like Georgia, you want the 12.5 or 13 number. That is extremely, extremely important. I don't love a side. I do think that Georgia's defense is going to give Tennessee's quarterback, Quarantano, a hard time. And when it comes to a prop bet in terms for Jimmy Butler, so there's no NBA MVP for the tournament. It's just a finals MVP. And I feel, Joe, you may have some information on this. Is there been a MVP that has been on the losing side? Because it's possible. I mean, we've seen
it. Very first one, I think.
Okay. So
Jerry West, right?
Yeah, yep.
Jerry West.
Okay.
Only person to win while being on the losing team.
So I don't think that Butler will get named the MVP then. It will probably be LeBron. So I would say save your money on the Bruins and save your money on the Butler.
I still think LeBron might be the best player in this series, even though what Jimmy Butler has
done. He definitely is.
Yeah. I hate to say that.
And again, you have to give all the credit.
Jeff, look at you with the knowledge, kid.
There you go.
I got a few.
All right.
You have to give Butler all the credit in the world for the way he's played, though.
So. Butler's not a superstar, and he's become one.
I think he is now.
There you go.
I think you got to give it to him at this point.
We'll wrap it up on the other side. It's the over-under 985 shoe.
This is the DraftKings over-under show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings over-under show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a clear black night, a clear white moon, Warren G was on the streets. Maybe we should do this for a karaoke one year, Dan.
Oh, yeah?
Who would you be, Warren G or Nate Dogg? To the east side, or
I'd rather be Nate Dogg, dude.
You'd want to be Nate Dogg?
Yeah, absolutely.
We can make this happen, Jeff. Or is this... I keep forgetting we're not in love anymore.
I feel like this is going to have to be a Kowloon adventure where, we've had... at least I've had a few. I need a few.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's go through the NFL scoreboard. Let's just bang it out. What do we got today? Tomorrow, sorry.
Start with,
why am I freezing?
Start with Panthers-Falcons.
Oh! Do we take the Falcons?
Are you backing the Falcons as a favorite 0-4 at home?
They're on the list.
Against a divisional opponent.
All right, ready? Well. I like the Falcons, and I'm not going to bet it because they're on the list. You know Teddy Bridgewater's record as an underdog against the spread's outstanding.
I don't like him.
That's fine.
He's played really well the last two games, though.
I can't touch it. Raiders, Chiefs, you've already given your thoughts on it. How about the Jets with Joey Flacco?
It's now 7.5 with the Cardinals. Do you think that they're going to get any better going from Darnold to Flacco? Come on.
Nope.
That team's a mess.
I already gave out a pick on the Eagles Steelers. Rams, Skins. Oh, sorry. The Washington football team.
Sorry, yes. Caught yourself. The football team. So this one from 9.5 to 7 because of Kyle Allen.
Rams sucked last week versus the Giants.
They did, but it was at home in a game where you don't really need to focus, I guess. At least this week, it's like you're on the road against a new quarterback. I don't know.
We've discussed a couple of these games.
It's got to be Rams.
How about Dolphins getting 9? Well, the 49ers lose and they're 9-point favorites.
Garoppolo's starting this week. I mean, you can't kill them for certain Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins was sucked.
How about Beathard? He was pretty decent.
He was good. I thought Beathard was better than Mullins.
Are the Cowboys even worth a 9-point favorite? The Giants' defense is not bad considering how awful their offense is.
Yeah, but the Giants' offense, they can't run the football, and that's where you need to expose the Cowboys. So if you can't run the football, I'm not sure how you beat Dallas. It's going to be very tough.
I have a PP.
Hit me.
Ooh, it's different now. I got it at 58. I already took it. I got it at 58.5 under Vikings Seahawks. It's 57 now.
Okay. You like a P?
Well, I took it at 58.5, though.
Do you still like the 57? I don't think 58.5 is a key number.
Oh, it's a difference.
Oh, no, definitely different.
Let's go under. Okay, let's do it. All right. I just want everyone to know that I took it at 58.5.
Okay.
Even though it's 57.
Vikings Seahawks under 57 from Joey Murr.
Ring it.
Bang.
And then the Saints, I don't trust, even though they won last week.
Rookie quarterback on the road.
Dave's in Weymouth. Hi, Dave. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, the fight next week, Lomachenko and Lopez. I just think guys this level fighting is probably not going to be a knockout. And since 2020, everything sucks. I won't see a knockout. So I got to thank Lomachenko by decision.
There we go. Let's PP it. Let's PP it, right?
I'm not PP. you're welcome to. Thanks for the call, Dave. You weren't talking my language. I got nothing for you. I hope you get to see your knockout in 2020, Dave. I hope you do.
All our picks here on the show today, also on the podcast from Thursday night.
6 college football plays from the podcast on Thursday night. I gave out 2 NFL. You gave out 2 NFL and a tennis.
NFL and tennis and a college? No?
I think you gave all three picks today.
I'm sorry to all our tennis fans out there.
Very upset about it.
I'm sorry to our French courts. People, the French Open, I really apologize. And don't get me wrong, Nadal's 59-8. I know. It's called fade. We're going to fade.
Dude, I hope you win that. I'm rooting for so hard on that pick.
The Joker's pissed. He hit that ball at that lady by accident, and now he's on a mission.
I hope you win that
Just like the Houston Astros are on a mission to tell everyone to screw as well. Right? Isn't it cool when you like a team that you hate does well? Yeah, whatever. All right, Dan, anything else?
No. That's it. I think we've covered a bunch. We gave out 5 picks today,
lots
6
of picks
on Thursday.
Today. 11 lots of picks on Thursday. Weekend. You guys, it's 9 in the morning. You got a lot of listening to do.
Ele- 11 picks.
We need a big weekend. Big weekend.
Let's do it. Little rebound here.
For Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
Who you got?
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.